Sub is Dallas from all 105.3. Here with my dude, Grand. Grandson in town.
Yes.
Your first Bay Area headlining show tonight.
First. Yeah.
Slims.
Yes.
Wonderful Slims. Even if you're behind the pillar or two of them, it's still going to be a damn good show. Just by the way, there's a couple pillars that like hold up that whole place.
Heard. I someone was pulling me aside and they were like, just so you know, there's a, if you want to kind of MacGyver your way up, there's a good stage diving access point right over next to pillar, the north one. I'm like, all right, dude.
You just got here from LA. Did you get to go home yesterday?
I did.
Did you get to see Andy?
I did. I saw my cat. It was actually a very disorienting experience. We played a show in San Diego. And then that same night, there were some very specific like curfew rules or whatever with the venue. So we packed up and we were on the road by 11 p.m. We got to Los Angeles around 2:30 in the morning and I took an Uber home. And I just, all of a sudden at 3 a.m, I'm just lying in my bed for the first time in 2 months trying to wrap my head around just what's going on. And it's disorienting to be on the road. It's not, it's good to come back to whatever feels like home. But it's definitely trippy to get back out there. But it's sad. This is the second last show of the North American debut headline tour. It's a bummer. There will be hopefully many other tours, but there's only one first one, and that's this one. And you guys are supporting that, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, and one thing I'm curious about is you chronicle it a lot, like on your Instagram, is the people who are coming out to these shows. Like, what have you learned about, you know, you've called them grandkids for a while, but these fans that are coming out to, you know, your first debut headlining show?
I think that, number one, I've been blown away by their passion and the way that passion manifests, the creativity, the like time spent designing t-shirts, clothes, jackets, fan art, tattoos on their bodies, the way that their relationship to these feelings that the songs discuss, the way those things manifest is really beautiful to watch. I've also been really humbled to understand the stuff that other people have to navigate. You just have no idea the battles that people are fighting. You know, you look into this sea of people and each and every one of them has to navigate their family dynamics the same way that we do. They're navigating pain or loss or addiction. And there are times where when you're making heavy music, it feels heavy, but there really is something very beautiful and profound about that relationship, that you're enabling other people to feel a sense of release or catharsis. And most importantly, that we're trying to spread youth empowerment, we're trying to spread awareness and about all sorts of social issues, and encourage people to feel a sense of personal agency in their ability to play a role in shaping their own life, you know, whether that's in their personal life, in their communities. And when people feel that connectivity, when people feel a part of something and they look around the room and they express that back to me and to the rest of the guys that I perform with, it's really cool. It's really, really good. It's been awesome.
It's clearly the music has been resonating with, you know, a lot of these people that you sort of intended to, the youth, and then do you see older people in the crowd as well?
Absolutely. And whether or not the lines are divided between age, just, you know, it starts just being your friends and family. Mm-hmm. You know, you ask your friends to come out to your little gig and support you, and then it hits that first threshold where you look around, you're like, I don't know a lot of these people. Who are these people? How'd they even find this thing? They all bought tickets? And then it becomes not just that, but when people that have just such a different lived experience, you know, I think Kurt Cobain was talking about that moment in Nirvana where he looked around and it was like all the jocks in the room, and how disorienting that must have been for him, because those were the same kids that were like beating him and Dave Grohl up in high school. And so that part of it is really, it's crazy to watch and observe from my end. And it's also tricky to figure out how to navigate that, how to facilitate these different kinds of people coming together. You know, music and sports are really two of the only places in America at least from a live standpoint, where you could be standing next to somebody who has a completely different ideology than you. We have become more and more isolated in our kind of thought bubbles and echo chambers, as enabled by social media. And so when I'm up there and I'm seeing these different people come together, it's like, what's my responsibility here to make everybody feel comfortable and not make anybody feel discriminated mm-hmm. against or patronized for their beliefs or for their experience, their upbringing? But how do I also make sure that I can sleep at night knowing that I'm standing for things that are important to me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all exciting things to navigate. That it's the kind of work that I've spent my whole life waiting to be able to do, and it's been really cool.
I mean, and on that tip, like, I've seen people on your Instagram like comment things, or on your Twitter saying like, "Hey, I love your music. I just wish, you know, you could leave politics out of it," and things like that. You know, people jump in on them, or you respond to them. Does it surprise you when there's people who like who listen to your music and maybe, you know, that the underlying themes might go over their head and like, "Hey, grandson, like, you know, wish, you know, you wouldn't talk about Trump like the way you do," or things like that.
People are entitled to experience whatever it is that they experience. I think that the type of music that we are making is trying to be forward thinking, not just from a lyrical perspective, but also moving the blending of hip hop, rock music, and electronic music mm-hmm. in a fresh direction. And some people just want to experience that on a surface level. And frankly, when you look at the most popular artists in the world today, unquestionably, the vast majority of them are apolitical.
Yeah.
You know, there is a certain amount of escapism that mm-hmm. people are getting into, or a voyeurism. When you look at some of the characters that are permeating pop culture, you know, sometimes it just has to do with like that is so different from me. It enables me to just forget my stuff for a moment. And so I guess at first I was much more like self-righteous about it and like, well, who are you to tell me that?
Yeah.
And you don't have to listen. You can go anywhere. But then as I tried to better understand those people and recognize that I myself have my own lived experience and my own relationship to media and authority figures that shaped my progressive view of the world the same that someone else might have shaped their view of the world. Do I still believe that the current administration is corrupt and that we just nominated a sexual predator to the Supreme Court? Yes. But that doesn't mean that some random person that is more on the conservative side of the political spectrum at the show at Slim's in San Francisco shouldn't be allowed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So those people are entitled to express their disappointment or frustration with me the same way that I'm allowed to keep talking about these things. But I think that one of the things that's been important for me and for my mental health has been to bring it back to voter registration, mm-hmm. youth empowerment. Like, if we focus on positivity, the effects that will stem from enabling young people, the world will get more progressive. The world will wake up. There will be more transparency and hopefully more accountability from that. But I don't need to necessarily tell half of America that, you know, they're not allowed here.
Yeah.
That certainly doesn't seem to be consistent with the kinds of messages that I'm hoping to get across.
Yeah, I mean, it's like you have very, very thoughtful responses, and I've seen that from the likes of Pearl Jam when they post something political, or Tom Morello, someone like you've recently hung out with, who, you know, people every time he posts something online are saying like, "Hey, leave the politics out of this." Like, did you ever listen to Rage Against the Machine? Do you know, like, this guy has like a politics degree from Harvard?
Right.
Like, he's really qualified for this, but, you know, you are inviting, and everybody is allowed and welcome to a grandson show to experience what it is you have to say.
And I think more than anything, one thing that I really do want is I want you to have opinions on whether you agree with this or not. Think critically.
Mm-hmm.
I think more than ever, we are being inundated with so much information. It's easy to just take things at surface value or gauge things on just a pure binary one or a zero. You either agree with something or you don't. You love it or you hate it. And I think it's really important to just enable people to have a certain amount of like nuance, think critically about, well, you know, even just now I got a comment on my Instagram saying, I agree with some of the things you have to say. I disagree with other things, but I respect your right to say it. That's period. And that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, the more that we encourage people to question where they're receiving their information and why they get that initial gut reaction that they get, I think that that will, in theory, make us a more informed and more just society. But it's hard and requires a lot of patience. And I certainly understand there are times where I myself go, you know, this would be a lot easier if I chose to just sing songs about my breakup or something.
Yeah, but vague pop songs or something like that. Some love songs here
must
and
there. Must be nice.
But the intensity that you have, you know, in your music and live and whatnot. I asked you, one of the first things I ever asked you was like, how do you channel that? Like, if you're having a bad day, like, how do you get up on stage and still provide that passion and that intensity night in, night out, especially when people are seeing you as a headliner? They've been waiting all night to watch Grandson, you know, through openers, they got there early. You know, they're getting as close as they can to you. Like, what is the key to bringing it every night, especially, you know, on your first like US headline tour?
I think the key is just gratitude. Gratitude and perspective on the whole thing. I feel very fortunate that if I had to be singing and dancing up there and, you know, doing some super plastic, happy-go-lucky stuff. Mm-hmm. When I'm not feeling good, I think that would be harder for me. When I'm feeling great, then that moment on stage is like a celebration where I'm jumping around. And if I'm in a bad mood, then that is something else. But it's still, it's such a physical release. So that has always been an important outlet for me ever since the beginnings of this project. But yeah, that I get to do this is an incredible privilege. That of all the places people could spend that ticket money or spend their time, or that you guys are spending the time giving people a chance to like hear the music and consume it for the first time. I'm just so lucky to be here that I try not to sabotage it with my own ego or let myself get in the way of it, because ultimately I think that performance is service in some degree. And I think that when I reflect on that, it is some kid's first show they've been really looking forward to, or I know that it's 3 p.m. right now, and when we drive up to the venue, there will be some kids that are sitting outside waiting to get in there for a show in 7 hours. You know, like, that's an unbelievably exciting thing, and it's new for me.
Yeah.
So
people driving distances.
It's
to get to this bonkers show, and like, then people out there for hours.
I remember the first time, I can't remember exactly what the moment was, but it dawned on me that I met a kid who was more passionate about being a Grandson fan than I am about being any fan. You know, that was a really weird experience for me when somebody like drove like 7 hours to come to a show, and I was like, oh, I wouldn't. Save your money, dude. What are you doing? Like, just listen to this stuff on, you know, the radio. What are you doing? But again, if I can keep it there, then this whole thing is just just fun. It's just songs, you know.
Yeah, so you're heading to Europe next?
Yes, that's absolutely right. We're packing up and we're going over there for the very first time. I've never been outside of the UK before, so it's gonna be really, really exciting. It's also gonna be a whirlwind, and
yeah,
we're not gonna sleep very much, but I'm looking forward to it. And bunch of stuff coming this summer.
Woodstock.
Get to play Woodstock. That's a big bucket list moment.
Yeah, what was that phone call like?
That was a, hey, we think we might be able to get this. And I was like, are you saying this? You know I'm going to get hype. If you're going to call me and tell me we're not getting it, I'm going to be really upset, because I don't want to give myself permission to get hype. And I was like, no, I think we're going to do it. And then a couple of days later it was announced. And, you know, the first Woodstock in 69, my father was actually based in New York at the time, 20 years old, and him and his friends piled into a car and drove to Woodstock, and their car got trapped in the mudslides, and they had to actually abandon their pilgrimage, and they just went to some cottage and smoked a joint and listened to the records, you know. And 50 years later, his son is going to be on stage at Woodstock. So it's a cool thing, and so much about this experience for me. My father was a musician, and so much of my relationship to music has to do with that legacy that I feel that I'm kind of carrying the torch from him, and I love my pop, so I'm lucky to share that, and he'll definitely be side stage with me. So it's gonna be cool, man.
August, Woodstock, Grandson, yes. Live. That's always gonna be an experience.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, and we can't wait to have you back in the Bay after this one too. Let's do it bigger next time.
You got it. From Dallas's ears, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
Next time, Fillmore, Bill Graham Civic, Warfield. We'll see. We're growing.
We're going.
The grandkids.
We're going to the Oracle.
Bring Andy.
Oh man, I will. He would hate that. I'll bring him.